Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Spring is here, and so are the critters. If critters are making themselves at home in your home, call Critter Control, serving the Pine Belt and Gulf Coast. They'll remove those pests and keep them out for good. Call Nathan at 601-467-9341. Critter Control. Get them out, keep them out.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in. Glad to see you on this Sunday night to this edition of the Rebel Report podcast. My name is Michael Borky. I'm so glad that you guys are with me on this Sunday night. Ole Miss gets a sweep of LSU, and with the exception of really one inning, it should have been an absolute domination from the Ole Miss baseball team over LSU. A sweep is a sweep nonetheless. But it was, frankly, it was a lot worse than the scoreboard indicated in a good way for Ole Miss. Are they back? Maybe. Sweeping anybody is always a good thing. Crazy town, though. Ole Miss's RPI went down this weekend after a sweep of LSU. Now, think about that for a second. Ole Miss's RPI got worse after a sweep of LSU. That really only shows you where the Tigers are right now. But still, Ole Miss now at the halfway point of conference play, and they are in good shape. Now, the schedule gets a little bit more difficult, I think, but they are in good shape. They have altered the conversation about what their postseason prospects are, starting to hit the ball a little bit better. There's a lot to like about this weekend, no doubt. Pitching staff really, really good. And it wasn't just solo home runs. They slapped the ball around the yard a little bit. They had base hits. They manufactured some offense. Again, LSU's pitching staff, not super great, but still. And I'm kind of underselling it. This is a stinky version of LSU. The Missouri State series is helping Ole Miss right now more than the LSU series. That's, again, crazy to think about, but a lot to like about this weekend. Good sweep, good weekend, and now the conversation about this team has shifted. Really, really, really good stuff there. And again, they did it in ways that they were not winning games earlier in the season in this way. So there's a lot to like about what this baseball team is doing. We will really find out about them this weekend. Weird start to the season in SEC play. Everybody's getting swept all the time. Nobody's winning two of three anymore. It's just sweeps abound, but good stuff there. Also, John David Baker had his first post-practice press conference, and he was really good. And this is also something, as you guys know, we just don't hear very often. We just don't, because in the 6 years under Kiffin, you only got the coordinators once a year. And I've got 8 cuts from John David Baker. It was a lot of really good, really interesting stuff. He used the phrase, he was talking about terminology more so than like the play calling, but he said that the offense is going to be about 80% the same for them. But he did make reference that there's some install, there's some new stuff. Talked about Trinidad, talked about Kewon Lacy, why he chose Pete Golding. Apparently he had some other offers as well. So a lot of really good stuff from him, and of course your comments on this edition of the podcast. So glad that you guys are here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review if you like what you hear anyway. But don't forget, if you're watching on YouTube, to subscribe to the podcast feed. I would really appreciate that. And of course here on YouTube as well, subscribe, leave a comment, like, hit the notification bell as well. Want to, again, tell you about our new partner here on this very podcast, Scruggs in Saltillo. Scruggs is a pretty incredible store. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. It is right on the border of Saltillo and Tupelo. And if you are anywhere within driving distance, and that includes Oxford, you need to go check this place out. I'm going to tell you about some of their deals for John Deere tractors and lawnmowers in a second, but it's not just that. When they say farm, lawn, and garden, it literally covers all of that. And also, like, the clothes selection, the boots are really good. Their hat selection is great. They have the cheapest beer in the area. Like, you know, inflation's catching everything. Not at Scruggs, not in the beer section. They have the cheapest beer in town. Fishing, home furnishings, refrigerators, home improvement, and also, obviously, for your farm or for your yard. Their John Deere Spring Sales event's going on right now. Whether you are a pro or you have a farm or you have some hunting land or you just have a yard like I do, they've got deals that will keep you moving this spring. 0%, 36 months on all commercial mowers. 0%, 36 months on all commercial mowers. 1.9% on 36 months on any John Deere Gator. We did the radio show sitting next to one, and I couldn't stop looking at it because of how bad I wanted to take it home with me. 1.9% for 36 months on a Gator. 0% for 72 months on all compact tractors and select 5-series tractors. They are valid through the end of the month. Do not wait. Go to Scruggs at 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo at Scruggs. They have what you want for less. And when you go, don't forget to tell them that it was me that sent you there. Not Brian Haydad. Tell him it was me that sent you, not him. All right. But no, go check out Scruggs in Saltillo/Tupelo today. So Ole Miss baseball gets the sweep. A few notes on that. I'm not being funny when I say this. If you're going to host a regional, you've got to beat the bad teams in your league at home if you want to get there. Losing this series would have been kind of devastating from a not only just like a morale perspective, but also just metrically. Ole Miss winning this series, sweeping the series, or at least going into today, their RPI dropped after winning those two games, like I said before. So if you're going to host a regional, and that is the standard by which I think a regular season should be judged in Ole Miss baseball, if you hosted a regional or not. Now, of course, what you do in the postseason carries more weight than just what your standing is getting there. Like last season, they hosted a regional, but they didn't get out of it. So, I mean, is anybody really talking about last season as some great achievement? But that's kind of the way in which I look at this program, and you know, that's how I measure a successful regular season for Ole Miss is, do they host a regional or do they not? And so you have to win series against a team with an RPI in the 70s going into this weekend, like LSU, and they're going to play more SEC games that will probably go up. Missouri State's going to play more of their conference games, so their RPI is probably going to go down, but it does underscore how important winning this series was, because without it, metrically, Ole Miss would have dropped. And going into the series, they're actually in fine shape from that perspective. They still pitched the hell out of it, with the exception of one inning. This was an LSU offense that mashed their way into a series win against Tennessee. And then look at what Tennessee did this weekend in Starkville. So LSU had the type of firepower that could have given Ole Miss fits, and again, with the exception of one inning, that they did really no such thing. This Ole Miss pitching staff is legitimate, and this rotation is good. Rabe maybe saw a batter too long. Also, I think that the longevity can get there, but he doesn't. The stuff doesn't hold up like forever in the way it kind of does for, say, Elliott, even though they're totally different pitchers. But you get my point. But the rotation, now that it's solidified, is really, really good and really solid, and they're really deep. I saw a handful of media members that cover LSU say that Ole Miss didn't have a thin pitching staff or weren't good as a staff. And it's like, look, man, I don't have intimate knowledge of LSU, and I'm sure there are things that about their baseball team that I would say that's incorrect, but that's just that's lacking ball knowledge if you think that this Ole Miss pitching staff going into this weekend was not legitimately really good, and they proved that again. But again, what I liked about this weekend was how they manufactured offense, that they kept putting pressure on, and albeit really bad, comparatively speaking, for LSU. Pitching staff, but they kept putting pressure on. They kept moving guys over. They took walks when the opportunity presented itself, but not everything. Now, they hit some home runs too, but not everything was a home run. for this team this weekend. They moved guys around. You had a squeeze bunt mixed in there too. There was just a lot to like, of course, especially when you sweep an SEC series. But is this team turning a corner? I think that there are things that they are doing better than they did a few weeks ago. This coming weekend, though, will tell us a lot. And then the Georgia series as well, coming back to Oxford for double-decker weekend. So you got to take care of business against teams like this if you're going to host a regional. Ole Miss did more than take care of business. They swept. Yeah, you love to see it. And now what a fascinating series they've got upcoming this coming weekend, where they go to Tennessee. They got Southern Miss on Tuesday, which I think I'm going to be there. I think I'm going to go ahead and apply for a credential and be there for that. So I don't know if we'll do post-game from the stadium, which I think I might do. Anyway, doesn't matter. But they got Southern Miss on Tuesday, and Southern Miss is going to need that one badly. They lost a series this weekend, and they are kind of playing their way out of being a host. They haven't gotten the sweeps in conference play that they've needed. Now they've lost a series. They've got a handful of sub 100 RPI weekends upcoming, and that's not good. So Southern Miss needs this one on Tuesday, and then this is a Tennessee team that's got to be feeling themselves after what they did in Starkville this weekend. They just earmuffs, everybody. Sorry for the language. They kicked Mississippi State's ass this weekend. It wasn't close. So fascinating series. Really good stuff there. A lot of comments, but I do want to get to this John David Baker stuff, and then I'll get to your comments. It's a lot of cuts, so bear with me, but I just really liked what I heard. And again, I'm not saying this is wrong or whatever, but as a person that does a 3-hour daily radio show and also this podcast, it would have been nice to have more assistants to do this with under Lane Kiffin. Now, allowing your assistants to talk doesn't translate to wins or anything, but I did enjoy listening to John David Baker. I think you guys will as well. So I've got 8 cuts for you. He's not as long-winded as Pete, so it's not going to take that long, but I do think this is worth your time. And I will start with him being asked about how he grew as a coordinator during his 2 years at East Carolina. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, it's one of those deals where you learn by fire a little bit. It's a unique situation for me. It was my first time in my career working for a defensive head coach, which was awesome. You know, I worked for a great head coach in Blake Carroll and Mike Houston first there. But, you know, the other part of that was they weren't an offensive guy that had, you know, years and years of experience in the system. And so as I'm game planning, as we're going through it, you know, finding the answers or finding things that are wrong in what we're doing, that was kind of all on me. And so learning from my experiences and my mistakes was huge. I didn't have an older guy in the room that had called plays in this offense before to help me. I had a great staff around me that helped me game plan and do all those things, but I didn't have an older guy in the room to help me with some of that. And so it allowed me to kind of learn by fire that first year and try to just learn as fast as I can and get better and better and better, because you're prepared, you're ready to be a play caller, but still there's a lot of things that you learn as you go through it, and I definitely did that the last 2 years there.
So as you heard, worked under a defensive-minded head coach. I would have been so concerned if he had never left Ole Miss and was never out on his own, calling offense on his own, or working under an offensive-minded head coach. That would have been a big red flag to me. Is okay, this guy. Hold on, he's a first-time OC on his own. That is not who I would have handed the keys to this offense over to. The fact that he was able to go out on his own for 2 years and run great offense at East Carolina without any influence over it at all is a very, very positive thing. And it I think should give you a lot of confidence in his ability to take the weapons that he has been given since he's arrived at Ole Miss back, in, I guess, late December, going into the playoff run, that he's done this on his own. And if you look at the numbers of East Carolina in the 2 years before he got there and the 2 years he was there, dramatically flipped that offense. And again, no other influence, did it completely on his own there, which is a really, obviously really good thing. All right, he was asked about his quarterback. So he was asked about Trinidad and also Deuce Knight. Here's what he said about his signal caller.
Yeah, Trinidad is, he's exactly what you want in the quarterback position. Ultra competitive, a perfectionist. He wants it right the first time. It's a great example today. You know, we go third downs for the first time, and, you know, there's some install involved in that. And he's doing it with some new receivers, new tight ends that he's never played with before, and he wants it to be perfect. And, you know, that's what you love about him, because he's pissed off if it ain't. And it's okay. It's okay, because, you know, we got a lot of time before we play a football game. But he's exactly what you want. He's a football junkie. He lives in this building. He's a great teammate to the guys around him. You can tell guys want to play for him. And I picked up on that early when I got here in December. You could just see his personality is infectious. And a lot of that comes from how competitive he is. And then Deuce is just, you know, he has all the talent in the world. And he's progressed very well, quicker than expected, to be honest with you. But he's doing some really, really good things. He adds an element, obviously size, speed, that nobody in the room really else has. But been really, really pleased with just how he's come along early on in spring ball.
Every person that talks about Trinidad Chambliss says very, very similar things. And that's what's so fascinating about him and kind of his upbringing, if you will, in college football, that, you know, he wasn't developed, right? He joined the team late in the summer, or in the second portal window, late in that second portal window, joined them in the summer, and was immediately, because as we talked about, during all of those scrimmages, you guys remember, and at the time we should have thought more about it, but it was, yeah, Simmons did some nice things, but man, this Chambliss kid, he's been awesome. I mean, it was from day one. So credit to the people that found him, but he came in as like a ready-made elite-type quarterback that for some reason nobody in the country like saw or was able to figure out. Truly wild that his two offers, like he was down to Temple or going to Ole Miss as the backup, but he stepped in right away and was better basically right away than everybody else in that room a year ago. And the mentality, the mindset, his brain is his biggest strength. As we talked about all season long and hearing it from his offensive coordinator, little anecdotes like that show you how. But Trinidad's best strength last season wasn't accuracy or athleticism or escaping the pocket, and he was good at all of those things. But it was upstairs. Very rarely rattled or down or flustered. Was so quick to make decisions. And when he did make mistakes, it was almost like he immediately learned and became better from them. That's what makes great quarterbacks great. It's not athleticism. That helps. It's not arm strength. That helps. It's the mental stuff is what makes a good quarterback great, or a super talented quarterback truly great. And clearly he's got that. All right, here's John David Baker on Kiwon Lacy.
I think for us too, it was one of the relationships early on that had to get started. And it was I've told these guys, like, I don't take it lightly that they chose to stay here and put their faith in me, because a lot's riding on a guy like him. You know, you have a year like that, you go in with huge expectations, and I want to help him exceed those expectations. And that's my sell to every guy in the room. Like, whatever you want to do, like, if I'm Kiwon Lacy and I want to be first team All-American, I want to be a first round draft pick, bro, whatever I can do to help you, I want to do it. And so for him, it was understanding, how can I help him get to the next level, next step of his career? Where can I find places for him to grow? And obviously the first thing for him is getting healthy, which he's doing a great job of, and then slowly getting him implemented back in. But, you know, our relationship will grow in time. The more and more he gets involved in team periods and sees exactly how I see him fitting and how we want to use him, I think it will continue.
Yeah, so just basic stuff there about Kiwon Lacy, but I imagine when he took the job, that was priority one, is to make sure that you do whatever you can to keep Kiwon Lacy away from Lane Kiffin and Kevin Smith, because as you know, they tried everything they possibly could to get him to go to LSU, and he chose not to. And so that was a big recruitment, even though it was your own player that never actually entered the transfer portal. That was the biggest recruitment. He and Will Echols, because Trinidad was going to stay. He wasn't following Lane. But regardless if the eligibility thing was figured out then or not. But those two guys were the biggest recruitments, even though neither one of them hit the portal, and they were able to keep them both. That was a big deal, Kiwon especially. So going from running back to his thoughts on the current crop of wide receivers.
It's felt that way really in every year that I've been here since 21. It's kind of been a reload in that room of just trying to bring guys in and teaching the system as fast as possible. And this year is no different. You know, you bring back one guy that's got real production and experience in this offense and Deuce Alexander. And then you've got a group of guys that have all the potential in the world, whether it's Horatio Fields, Daryl Gill, Jonte Cook, guys that have the right skill sets, and now we got to figure out where they fit. And so for me, it was, you got to find the guys that obviously have the skill set, but they also got to be able to process at a fast pace. And so, you know, that's a fine line to get, but also you got to find guys that fit this culture, because that was the other thing that I learned early on in my time here. Like, the culture of that side of the ball, as far as guys that are competitive, tough, love football, want to win, like, we had to bring the right guys in, and I feel like we did that. Now, there is a learning curve, and these guys got to learn how we do things and what we do, but like I said, they've got all the potential in the world. Now it's our job to figure out how they fit.
Yeah, early returns out of spring practice. There is, and there should be, considering the recruiting profile and stuff, a good bit of talent in that wide receiver room. So Deuce Knight, a big returner, but as he laid out, this is a group that can be as productive as the receiver groups that they've had over the last, many years. Predates Lane Kiffin. They've been great at wide receiver lately at Ole Miss, and no reason to think that this group cannot be the same. All right, a few more. I know this is a lot. I'm sorry. A few more. Here's the 80% quote. He was asked about terminology for the players, and here's what he had to say about that.
No, it's a mixed bag. You know, when you over the time here over 6 years, you know, you're talking about starting in 2020. So you've got Coach Kiffin terminology, you've got Levy terminology, you've got Charlie, some of our stuff from USC. It had grown to a mixed bag of terminology, a lot of different languages in that from different systems. And so when I left, just tried to clean it up a little bit. It was not a wholesale change or a massive change, but it was just trying to uniform certain concepts and make sure that things made sense. And so I would say 80% of it is exactly the same that it's been, but it was not a wholesale change. I think it's things that help clean things up and make it a little simpler.
So there you go. Again, that was more about terminology than like the actual plays themselves. But look, he's in a cut that I'm not going to play for. He was asked about influences, and you know, he started in the air raid, and you know, of course, worked under Kiffin and stuff, and so he's drawn a lot of influences from that. But when you hear air raid, don't think they're running Mike Leach air raid. And that yes, there's those concepts, and I mean, almost all offenses in modern college football, Mike Leach, it was kind of like that. But they're not going to start throwing it 70 times a game, and it's not going to be little 5-yard hitch routes, and they're going to throw 60 passes for 315 yards. That's not what it's going to be. You know, I am certainly not an expert, quote unquote expert, but from watching what I've been able to watch about East Carolina, it does. There is a lot of similarities. The thing that stood out to me, and he might, and you know, I'll get the chance to visit with him, or at least I should, this offseason, and I will ask, you know, hey, conceptually, what are some of the differences besides terminology? I think red zone is going to look different. I do think that you're going to see more multi-running backs, more multi-tight ends, maybe some under-center stuff than you did in years prior. So I'll get to ask him the question more specifically about the differences, but it's not that much as you can hear from listening to him and from watching East Carolina. But, you know, he's not Charlie. He's not Lane. He's his own guy. And while he comes from the Kiffin tree, Lebby and Charlie are different. But regardless of what you think about what Mississippi State's going through right now, they are still scheming guys open. I mean, all the time. Constantly. So Lebby has not lost his offensive play calling fastball just because Mississippi State's only won 7 games in 2 years. He's still getting dudes open every single game constantly. He just did not have the quarterback that was able to actually, you know, consistently deliver the football to open receivers. So anyway. All right. He was asked, why'd you choose to work for Pete Golding?
Yeah. I mean, obviously I got to spend 1 year with him here. And when I watched him and observed that year in 2023, taking over the defense, and you could just see the just change in mentality and change in culture on that side. It's hard sometimes when you are the coach on the other side of the ball, of the head coach. Same thing at East Carolina. That had been a defensive program for multiple years. Luckily, I worked for a great defensive head coach, and it was the same thing here. But, like, you have to take over that side of the ball, and you got to be the head coach of that side of the ball. And Pete did that. And just the change that I saw in him, how he treated his staff, all those things. And I was telling people, you know, when I was at East Carolina, when all these jobs in this league were coming open last year, I'm like, the first call for me would be Pete. And so when this whole deal happened, like, it was a no-brainer. Pete was great to me. You know, I wouldn't say we had just – the closest relationship, but obviously working together for a year and the success we had in 23 definitely helped it.
And that turned into, what was it like being there during the playoff? Because you were involved, and this is a good answer here.
It's the craziest time in my career, definitely. And I've jokingly told people, but it's the truth. I mean, this is the only building in the country that could probably handle a situation like that. And also, you know, Charlie handled it like a pro. I mean, he was the ultimate professional and obviously did a great job throughout the playoffs. And he and I have a great relationship. You know, we worked together for 2 years here. But it was weird because at the end of the day, you know, like, next year I'm going to be playing against that guy. But you know, my whole deal when I came was, A, relationships, how fast can I get to know the guys in the room from a retainment standpoint. And then once it got going, you know, longer and longer throughout the playoffs and I started to have a more predominant role in the coaching side of it, you know, I want to help these guys win. Like, this is where I work now. And so it was kind of weird because I felt like I had 2 seasons in 1 last year. You know, that month and a half of the playoffs felt like a full season, just with everything that went on from a player retainment standpoint, you know, the portal, and all of a sudden you're game planning for a couple of the best defenses in the country in Georgia and Miami. But it was an interesting time. It was an interesting time for sure. It was, but it was a good experience because, and it was an advantageous experience for me because I got a jump start on learning the guys on the roster. And that was the thing that shocked me a little bit. You know, you're gone for 2 years, but that's college football right now. When I came back in last year's roster, there were 3 guys on the offense that even knew who I was. I mean, that's the kind of turnover that we had here. And so it was good for me to get reacquainted with the guys that were in the room.
Obviously,
it's still pretty wild what that team went through, and not only what they went through, but how they were able to, I mean, play their best football of the season going through all of that. It truly just a bizarre situation that Pete Golding navigated beautifully. And I can't stress enough how many other programs, how many other teams would have completely just fallen apart during all of that. So there you go. Podcast brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day. With their online banking platform, it's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection. You can do whatever it is that you want to do with your money, because that's what they do at Priority One Bank. They make you their priority. Also, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com, for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. All right, let's get to the comments right now. Hold on, I gotta do something. Sorry, minor crisis, but we're solving it live in real time. Okay. What's up? Good to see you guys. Broomstick, sweep, sweep is how we start. I had to have series and they swept, really ran circles around LSU most of the weekend. Credit them all for the infield hits. Yes. Yeah, one inning aside, it was, again, earmuffs if you have kids in the car. It was an ass-kicking other than one inning. I guess LSU started the series on Elliott. They had the two-run home run in the first. So in 25 innings, Ole Miss absolutely kicked LSU's ass. So 26 runs in three games is winning baseball, especially how they came. Need your thoughts on the situation that unfolded Saturday in the student section. Kiffin's tweets, the amount of toxicity between the two fan bases. Oh, geez. There is, I mean, look, you shouldn't throw a beer on people. It's not smart. It's a dumb thing to do. College kids are dumb. They do dumb stuff. The guy that did that shouldn't have done it. And, you know, if Ole Miss were to have removed him from the stadium and, you know, been like, hey, you know, your student tickets are revoked for a weekend or whatever, or he gets a reprimand or something, that would be appropriate. You can't do stuff like that. And you shouldn't do stuff like that, regardless if the guy and I assume his wife are being antagonizing or not. It's something you shouldn't do. We've all done things that are dumb like that. Hand up. I've done something dumb like that. But it's dumb. And that shouldn't have happened. If I am 52 years old, drunk to where I can't walk straight, causing trouble in a college student section, I have failed at life. You have no business being there. That section is not for you. There is one reason why you are in a section like that, and it's to stir stuff up. And at your age, you should, one, be able to handle alcohol, and two, be smart enough to not want to go to a student section to start stuff. I had somebody tell me that there was a lot of confrontation before that video, had walked through more than once, and it's just you only do that for one reason, because you're, again, a 52-year-old man, fully incapable of handling your alcohol or controlling your emotions. And that's evidenced by his weekend in jail. And so, yeah, like, good on you for being a super tough guy, sucker punching somebody that did not throw a beer at you, because that wasn't the person that did it. And you sure showed him how super tough you are by spending a weekend in jail. I assume having a really pissed off wife. I assume if he's employed, his employer is not going to be real thrilled about seeing their employee on video punching a college kid while being drunk off as you know what. And he's got to deal with an assault charge. And if people are correct, still hadn't been released from jail yet. So it's stupid all around. College kid shouldn't have thrown a beer at somebody. 52-year-old man should not be that intoxicated and acting like that in a college student section. So, I mean, there's levels to it. The 52-year-old man is the worst of it, though. I'm not going to act like that is a normal place to be and a normal way to be, like, in terms of, intoxication level, and it's an embarrassment, kind of all around. But there's levels to said embarrassment, and the 52-year-old man that went to jail is the most embarrassing of the bunch. And saw Kiffin's tweets that he, of course, had to delete because the head football coach of any football coach should not be tweeting that. And despite, you know, some burner accounts insistence that the league office wouldn't care about something like that, they most certainly do. There's already an unease about week three and having one of the coaches fanning the flames, like encouraging and bragging about violence going into what will be an emotionally charged environment is not something that they want. And it's just really stupid. But, you know, that's what he does on Twitter. And I'm so sick of the discourse around that game already. I mean, it's just insanity. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of long conversations about trying to bring the temperature down that one person's not going to listen to. But I think that the league office is really going to have to do a lot here to try to make sure that that game runs as smoothly as it can. The Tennessee thing in 2021, that was a decade later. This is a few months later. 3 weeks until graduation, then you're headed to the Aloha State. Congratulations, man. Awesome. Would you have thought Ole Miss would be ahead of Mississippi State in the standings? What the hell's happening in Starkville? Be curious to hear Haydad's thoughts on the radio show. They're falling apart is what they're doing. It's hard to believe that the team that you watched a couple weeks ago has not won an SEC game since. It's brutal right now. Biggest hope when they retained Pete, the only thing that made you nervous about going and hiring someone else would have been a drastic change to the offense. Yeah. With the three pitchers should have a chance in every game remaining. Absolutely. Going fast and scoring points is the identity, so adjusting to something else would have been tough. Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, the way Kiffin conducted himself at the end was an embarrassment, but that doesn't erase the fact that he won a lot of football games, and a lot of what he did worked. And doing a complete wholesale change of how the program operated would have been a stupid thing to do. And so hearing that, you know, made an OC hire that would do similar stuff, a lot of the same stuff, makes sense. That's a smart thing to do because it works, clearly. So don't deviate from what works because the previous guy conducted himself poorly at the very end. The wins weren't poor. So stick with a lot of what works. Make the program your own, but also don't deviate away from what works. And it was good to see that Pete Golding was smart enough to not do that. Jay Johnson looked like it was hands in the air, panic mode most of the weekend. So many pitching changes, stalling, and not to mention LSU plays horrible defense. Yeah. Especially outfield defense, really bad. When Lane was here, everyone talked about how the portal is the future and recruiting was a thing of the past. So is Pete doing the right thing by recruiting? So I didn't necessarily agree with the idea that high school recruiting was utterly meaningless. No, especially over the last couple of years, as you've seen on the defensive line in particular, what would they be without high school recruiting? Being a world of hurt without it. So I didn't necessarily agree with the just abandon everything high school recruiting because it doesn't matter at all. The portal's there. They were great at it. And using it the way they did worked. But to abandon high school recruiting would have been stupid. And they didn't abandon high school recruiting, but abandoning it would have been a stupid thing to do. I do think that they're still going to have that balance of they're going to use the portal. They did this cycle, but they're going to try to do a better job at keeping the quality SEC caliber players that are from the state within the state. Because as we've talked about before, I think it's pretty obvious that in-state guys are more likely to stay. We talked about Caleb Cunningham. Mississippi State's the same way. I mean, they've won 7 games in 2 years, and they were able to retain Kelly Jones. He could have gone anywhere in the country, anywhere, but he's a Mississippi guy, so he wanted to stay. Isaac Smith could go play at a lot of places, but he didn't want to because he's a Mississippi guy. He wants to stay where he's from. I think if Caleb Cunningham were a 5-star from Texas, he'd be gone by now. But he's from Mississippi. And you look at, I know Ole Miss is winning a lot of games, so it's certainly not apples to apples with Mississippi State, but William Echols is from here. Santarian Perkins is from here. Those guys could have gone anywhere, and they don't want to. This is where they're from. And I think that helps with roster retention. So focusing on in-state high school recruiting is not a bad, fruitless effort. Rabe, 6 complete today with no hits and 2 free passes. You'll take that happily on a Sunday, no matter the opponent, 100%. Even the bunting strategy worked today and ended up being the difference. Walker Hook seemed to be the closer for this team as well. He's the closer. That's done. He's the closer. Yep. What happened in that 7-run LSU inning? Just Libert didn't have it, and they are a good, like explosive baseball team. You saw it in Knoxville last weekend. Eventually you think they would score, but they ran into a pretty high level pitching staff. Not pretty high level, really high level pitching staff. Did not realize the batting average was this abysmal. It is getting better, but yes, it's very, very bad. Very bad. Series sweep was a morale booster for Ole Miss fans over LSU in general. Yeah, I think so. Austin with the super chat. Thank you so much, man. It's just different. The baseball team has its faults, but now everything they wanted to do going into the season is back on the table. Side note, if baseball is an indicator, then September 19th is going to get ugly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 8-7 now. Go 8-7 the rest of the way. It's probably locking down a hoe. 7-8 may get them there at 15-15. I don't know if 15-15 will do it. 16 with their schedules hosting. New curtain rod? Yes, I got one. I got a curtain rod. I was sick of looking at it, to be honest with you. It looks so much better, too. It really does. You were present on Saturday in Vaught Hemingway. Was already worried about everyone's safety on September 19th. I'm even more concerned about that now than you were before. They'll bring in extra security and stuff like that. LSU won't travel as well as they used to. No, nobody's traveling as well as they used to anymore. The last few times LSU's been to Oxford, they haven't brought all that many people to create like a true ruckus, you know? I mean, I'm sure there's going to be confrontations and stuff, and, you know, guys from South Haven that are 52 that want to hang out in student sections are going to do that. And you're going to have issues there. It's going to be really emotional and all that. But again, I think the league is going to get out in front of this as best they can. And they're probably going to do a lot of assisting in that. So you say, don't get me wrong. I love Brad, but wish they would have let you have a debate with that AYS dude. Can't stand him. Yeah, actually, I have him muted on Twitter, but I did. Some people sent me that he was quoting some of my tweets today, and that, you know, that's fine. I don't particularly care about debates, to be honest with you, because I mean, if you watched it, what would I get out of that? And like, what is there to debate? I don't like, I'm not just going to argue for the sake of arguing about things that I've never said or believe, you know. I just like, what would I get out of that? What is the benefit? What do I gain? What would you gain? What would you guys gain? What would our radio audience gain? And what would you guys gain by me going on that? And just nothing. I mean, it's not,
I don't want to get down into those kind of weeds. I think that's not that kind of stuff's not for me. It's not for me. So he says no Ole Miss people won't invite him on his show. Already tried that. No. I mean, what would you guys get out of that? I'm not gonna put somebody on statewide radio. The way we approach it, and look, we goof off and stuff, but I'm not gonna just put somebody on that's. I don't think that will be worth our audience's time. Now, his style of stuff works, and I'm sure he's got a big following, and that's great. You know, it's just I'm not interested in recreating the Feinbaum show. That's not what we do, and what we do has been working in this state. It works really well in this state, and I'm not going to get into that. It's just not for me. I don't think that's something I want to put you guys through either. So. Let's be real. Ole Miss hasn't had as many dominant weekends or sweeps in Oxford since 2022. Vandy last year is the one that comes to mind, but this was big for the fan base. Florida looks the part against Georgia. Arkansas is a future series, and they swept at Bama. It's weird, but it will stay difficult. Look out, the egg salad hat's a meme forever. Yeah, as you get removed from the course. No, not really. I don't actually believe that. I think what's up with the big word hats? I don't on the golf course. If you want to wear them at the bar or at a game or whatever, that's not what I'm talking about. You wear those wherever. I don't care. It's at a place like Augusta is where the big hats need to not exist. In my opinion, but whatever. I mean, who cares? Crowds were really good at Swayze, to be expected. Friday and Saturday were slammed, and Sunday was lighter, but still a good crowd. Yeah, especially after the first two wins. A game three is always going to be a little bit lighter. Student who threw the beer was trashy and had retaliation coming. Looked to me like the LSU guy was being let out by his wife after a previous encounter. And, of course, he assaulted the wrong guy. Yep. Yeah, but he sure showed them. Got an assault charge. Weekend in jail. Pissed off wife. If he is employed by somebody, an unhappy employer. I mean, if that's worth it to you, then by all means, man, show up the college student, you 52-year-old man. If my father at 52 was behaving like that, I would be just embarrassed. But I hope to God I'm never in that state. Not that state of... At the state, like one of the 50 states. I mean, that state of mind at that age. I was really surprised that Tennessee swept in Starkville. State paid way too much money to go 0-6 at home in back-to-back weeks. Wonder how this affects them moving forward. It's a postseason thing, right? I mean, if nobody will remember the 0-6 2 weeks as long as they... make noise in the postseason, but is anybody counting on that right now? I certainly would not be. Probably a combination of both. The even playing field in SEC baseball, a product of the portal or new scholarship rule, I would bet both. Got a feeling your coworkers at our state and Southern Miss fans won't be stopping by the office the way they were a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Also at the Super Chat, thank you, man. Really appreciate you. Not over-exaggerating. Need the National Guard on the 19th. If you had it your way, wouldn't even acknowledge his presence. Well, that's not going to happen, but heightened security for sure, for a lot of reasons. But yeah, I'm just the heightened security, be a little bit more intentional about protecting the tunnels and stuff like that, because 99.9% of people, 99.9% of people on both sides of the deal will not resort to physical violence, because normal people don't do that. But there are the crazies, and alcohol will get involved, and there are people that can't handle it, and there will be stuff that will happen. And it's better to just be prepared to not let the crazies do crazy people things and fight each other in the Grove or in the stands or stuff like that. It's just better to overprotect. Yeah, you mentioned before, but you're right. The LSU outfield, just not good. Not good. Think Eccles and Perkins have something to do with Cunningham not flirting in the portal? Maybe. I think there's something to it for sure. You want Vaught Hemingway to be absolutely nuts when they play him? I don't think you have to worry about that. Weekend was relieving, not because they won, but because this showed that they were capable of providing consistent production at the plate. Happy Masters weekend. It was a great day. Now, I'm not the biggest Rory fan. I don't dislike him or anything like that. People ripping him for doing the "I dropped my daughter off at school, fly up, play Augusta, and fly home and back in time for dinner." I'm sorry. You're mad at him for doing that? That's the most badass thing I've ever heard. Oh, let me just drop my daughter off at school and hop on my private jet and go play Augusta, and then I'll be home before dinner. That is awesome. I don't understand why, of all things that Rory has done, that is the thing that made people angry. Every single one of you would do that exact thing if you could. I would do that every single day of my life if I had the financial means to do that. Are you kidding me? That's what I'm supposed to hate him for? No. But I'm not a fan of his. I'm just kind of indifferent. I was rooting for basically everybody else today. Not Shane Lowry either. I didn't want Shane to win or Tyrrell. Russell Henley coming up out of nowhere, he seems fine. But no, I was rooting for Scotty, and Justin Rose winning would have been cool too. But it was a great day, though. Great golf. My gosh, Scotty's putt on 17 was about that far from going in and forcing a playoff, and he would have wrecked Rory in the playoff, I think. But great Masters, though. I mean, they let the course really dry up. There's kind of a drought there in Augusta, so there was a little bit of browning, which was good, though. I mean, great leaderboard. Super compelling Saturday and Sunday. How much do you think this weekend was Ole Miss getting right versus how bad LSU is? Maybe a bit of both. I think the truth is in the middle. I think Ole Miss is doing something. Ole Miss has figured out the rotation. Pitching staff is elite. Some guys are starting to see it better at the plate. And also LSU stinks out loud. It's a combination of both of those things. Would have done the same thing Rory did. That's a GOAT move, dropping those lines. No kidding. The internet's a crazy place. Frankly, I spend too much time on it, because you've got people now analyzing. And of course, it's just like anonymous loser burner accounts. But I think that Rory's daughter doesn't do well with crowds. I think. The only reason why I bring that up is because you have this. It's clear that his daughter hates him. Stop. Like when she made that putt at the par 3 contest last year I guess is it Lowry's daughter that they're really tight, and like Rory's daughter didn't do anything. She just kind of tensed up when it happened and the crowd goes crazy. You could tell this poor little girl was like, oh my God, what happened? It looks like she's a little girl that does not, you know, she has like a, she's weird in crowds. But now you've got this whole thing online where it's like Rory's daughter hates him. And you can tell by the way when she hugged him and like when the hug was over, she went right back to her grandma. It's like there's thousands of people around this girl being loud. We have completely, as people, like jumped the shark into like being way too comfortable, being way too personal. It's bizarre. I hate that. And it's only like, I only see it when you switch over to the For You tab on Twitter. People talking about Rory's daughter hates him. Like, we're gross, man. Well, what's happened to us? Not a big golf guy, but how is it that a guy like Rory goes nearly a decade without a major, then wins the biggest prize in golf 2 years in a row? Here's how. Mental. It's an extremely hard game to begin with. The margins of error are just razor thin. And it's mental. It's all, he had a mental block at Augusta and now he's free. Finally overcame it last year, and he barely overcame it last year. My gosh, that shot on 13 was just horrendous. One of the, just absolutely horrendous. But he overcame it despite himself last year. Now he's free. That was a mentally free guy all weekend. Bryson missed the cut. That was pretty funny. Yeah. Oh, don't worry, though. He's going to... Here's the thing about like sports in general. Sports are a copycat thing, especially golf. If there was a guy that was doing something that clearly afforded him a competitive advantage, like Bryson with these single length irons and wedges thing, if it was actually advantageous, other guys would be doing it too. He's been doing it for years and years and years, and not a single person has copied him. Why do you think that is? They have all of these scientists and TrackMan and data and all this crap, and all these equipment manufacturers are tinkering with everything all the time, and not a single other player has looked at that and thought, I'm going to give that a shot. Why not? Because it's probably not good to have a 6-iron length sand wedge, and so there's so much more room for error when you've got his equipment situation. Now he's 3D printing his irons, and he is super talented. And that's what's frustrating almost, is like, if you would just like get out of your own way and be normal, I mean, you could go down as one of the greatest players of all time. Your raw talent is special. So get out of your own way, go to standard length, stop trying to be smarter than everybody, and just go relax and go play. You know, you're not a scientist. You're a golfer. Look at the way the guys that are better than him go about their business. And then him. He's talented to have double-digit majors. But he's never going to get there because he can't get out of his own way. Any update on the Tiger Woods situation? Not really. I mean, he went overseas for rehab and just, you know, forget golf. Just be healthy to be a dad. You know, that's what matters. Go be a dad. Figure that out. If I hear someone on social media talking noise and they don't have an actual name associated with the account they use, I just assume that person can't do much besides be a keyboard warrior. Well, and you know, it's funny, a lot of people that are too afraid to use their own face and name online are really comfortable talking about how they would fight people in public. Too afraid to use your own name online, not too afraid to physically fight people in public. Sure. Sure. Yeah, man. Very cool. Very cool. Don't know if you've ever gotten Borky to do an hour shift. During football season, we would go an hour all the time. Heard you discuss your trip to the Masters. How are you able to get Sunday tickets? And was the experience as good as everyone says? So I have been three times. I've been on two Sundays and then a Monday practice round. The Monday practice round, a very good friend of mine 2 years ago won the lottery. That simple. Won the Masters lottery. We're able to go on a Monday. I went in 07 and 08 with my dad. My dad at the time worked for a company that a big corporation. And they would send their biggest clients to the Masters. They'd rent a house and do all that stuff. And those 2 years, the Masters Sunday landed on Easter Sunday, and some of the clients left. They didn't want to stay for the Sunday round. They wanted to go home to be with their families for Easter. And so they called my dad and were like, hey, a couple guys left, got some passes sitting at the house for you. And we drove down. So we just lucked into it, is basically what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not special, don't have any special connections. We lucked into it because of Easter Sunday and my dad's job at the time, and then the lottery. The experience is not as good as everyone says. It's better. And everybody says that, but William, it is the... I've been to college football games all over the country. I've been to NFL games. I've been to Major League Baseball games. I've been to NBA games. I've been to soccer games. I've because of my job and stuff and just what I've loved in life, I have gone to a lot of sporting events. There is nothing that I have ever done in my life in sports that comes anywhere remotely close to the experience there. And it's everything. It's every detail. It's the bathrooms and the way they run the bathrooms. It's obviously the concessions that go viral, but the property and the way everything is kept and the way the everybody that works there acts and behaves, and the phone thing is real. Like, that people say that, and they're not just saying that to be hyperbolic. It is real. I have had more human interaction at the Masters than anywhere else on the planet, because in order to get information, you have to talk to people. Like, you have no choice. If you hear a roar down from Amen Corner and you're up on the 15th hole, the only way to know what happened is by talking to a stranger to find out what happened. And so it's all of that. Everything is perfect. It is beautifully manufactured. It is the most efficient, well-run thing you've ever done, from bathrooms and concessions and merchandise. The course is stunning. The property, the hills, everything, and the interaction with people, nothing in American sports comes anywhere close to that experience. Nothing, 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 nothing at all. So Bryson and Kevin Hart are drinking protein shakes together in a sauna right now. Richard couldn't help himself with the "just different" at the end of the broadcast. I don't know, man. People liked it. I don't know. I don't know. Imagine how much you chunk a sand wedge 6-iron length. I mean, all the time. No wonder you can't get it out of the sand there. Think about doing the lottery for next year. One of those American things to do at least once. Steven, you have to. Have to. Do it every year. And if you have a wife or a girlfriend, get her to do it. Get your buddies to do it. Get your parents to do it. Get your name in there as much as possible, and keep trying and keep trying. And you may never get it. I mean, I've been doing it every day since I turned 18, and I haven't won the lottery myself yet. Now, one of my friends has. But do it. Even if you don't like the sport, it doesn't matter. You'll have so much fun. What do you personally do with your phone when you went to Augusta? You leave it in the car. It, like, in the parking is another thing that's incredibly efficient. You don't have to pay for parking. And I mean, it is so perfect and well prepared and like, oh man. Yeah. Just leave it in your car. Pops told me that if I brought my phone, he'd kick my ass and left it in the hotel room. Yeah, you get kicked out right away. You should do a call-in show. I don't have the technology for that. I mean, I guess I could. Here's a problem. This is why we don't do calls on the radio show. That's why we use a text line. Because unless you can really screen the calls well, you've got people that will call just to hear themselves talk and not to add to the conversation or anything like that. Like they try to be funny and like make jokes or, you know, it's, hey guys, how's it going? I'm good. Go ahead. You know, it's like it's, there's a lot of wasted time with callers. And unless you have a, like the ability to do a lot of call screening, I mean, like the Feinbaum show, he's got call screeners and a lot of them. And so they get certain people on and stuff like that. You have to sift through a lot of bad before you get to the good, or in order to get to the good when you do callers. So we don't do them anymore because it was a lot of wasted air. And so that the text line and comments here is really helpful because you can filter out not only like filter out the people that are not actually going to provide anything insightful, but you can cut out a lot of the wasted energy. Like a text message, you can say the same thing and it takes, you know, 20 seconds as opposed to a 4-minute phone call. So that's all. If I did a solo show, I would take calls. But since there's, you know, the two of us, obviously, there's not the need for it. So there you go. I watched so much golf this week, guys. And you know, here's the problem. The Heritage is this weekend, and I absolutely love that tournament too. So I'm watching the Heritage this weekend and the next weekend. I hate to tell you, by the way. Sorry. I won't be watching much baseball, and I won't be in Oxford for double decker. Because we're going to the event in New Orleans, the Zurich Classic. So what do you think about the comment Lane made today and what possible trouble could he be in? Fines, did talk about it earlier, but fines maybe not, but I do think that I think that the league office is going to see stuff like that, and they would be smart to get involved. Maybe not publicly, but they would be smart. I wouldn't be surprised if they already are, but they would be smart to get involved. And it would just be a stain on the league if they allowed stuff like that to continue. That's a bad look, man. It's a bad look. I think that game's going to kick off at 2:30. I think it'll be College Game Day, and that'll be the game of the day, and it'll kick off at 2:30. Probably not smart to have it be a 7 o'clock kick. But, yeah. Yeah, there's barely any. That weekend's not a great weekend, so game of the day. Although, I mean, I guess ESPN, ABC controls all of it now, so they can decide what they want. In terms of time slot, they don't have CBS anymore to deal with. Went to Pinehurst when Arnold Palmer was playing, among others. Arnie's army was amazing coming around the corner of the course, but when Arnie putted, he missed. That's still so cool, though, that you got to see him. It's really cool. I am very jealous of that. But anyway, I got to run, guys. It's late. I'm going to go to bed. I really appreciate you guys being here. We'll be live on Tuesday, maybe from the ballpark, maybe not. I don't know. I'll let you know. But either way, we'll be live after the game on Tuesday. A big one. Ole Miss has revenge on the mind, and Southern Miss needs it badly. So I'll see you guys then, and y'all have a good night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.